Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. This is the Rumble in the Garden podcast, and you're listening to Norman Rose of Rumble in the Garden. You can find our work at rumbleinthegarden.com. You can find us on Twitter at RumbleSBN, and you can find us on Facebook, where you should probably go and like our stuff. Or just, you know, take a read, comment, join the conversation. Today, we have a conversation with Brad of the Xavier blog, Banners on the Parkway. Say hi, Brad.
How's it going?
St. John's plays at Xavier on Saturday, 2:30. So, Brad, first, can you tell the people where they can find your work?
Well, we write at bannersontheparkway.com. So you can find all of our work there. We also have a Facebook as well as a Twitter at Banners Parkway. So if you guys want to give us a follow, a like, join the conversation. We always welcome fans of other teams as well to join in.
Thanks, Brad. So again, you know, this is the Rumble in the Garden podcast, but we're really interested in intel on other teams. As we're recording this, St. John's is coming off of a loss to Creighton, one of the best teams in the Big East, but that's kind of a hard thing to say early in the conference play, because there have been, what, three, four teams that are nationally ranked, and sometimes you watch each team and you think, this team could take it all, at least within the Big East. What are your thoughts on, I guess, the top of the league, Brad?
Well, I would say right now, if you stratify the league, you would be looking at four teams right at the top with Villanova and Xavier, Butler and Creighton. I would say those are the top four that have kind of separated themselves from the pack in non-conference play. Certainly with some of the impressive wins they've gotten, Butler knocked off Indiana and just knocked off Villanova. Creighton had that big win against Wisconsin. Of course, Villanova went through the tough non-conference undefeated. And Xavier had wins over Clemson and over Wake Forest. So there are some really tough teams right there at the top. Right now, it's a little too close to call, but I would say those are the four that are going to be there right at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems so far like the league, I wouldn't say it, you know, is going to form, but certainly three of those teams were teams that were thought to be top teams. I guess the fourth being Butler was a question mark in some people's eyes, but I think in other people's eyes, I know they were ranked in a number of publications. So, you know, it's a Big East that's sort of what you expect, but you know, what you expect is an extremely tough league. And that's been, you know, I suppose pretty good for the league. Every night is, you know, you can always make that no nights off narrative. And I know St. John's has proven that already with a victory over Butler at home at Carneseca Arena. But let's talk Xavier. Tell us about their season so far. How do you feel about it? And how do you feel about it with the absence of Miles Davis, who should have been a star and a starter this season?
Well, that has certainly made an impact. You look at Xavier shooting a little under 34% from three as a team, and Miles Davis was a 38% three-point shooter last season. He was second on the team, so certainly that has made an impact just in the way things play on the court. He was also a big team leader. You know, he was kind of an emotional leader for the team last year, so that has he's certainly been missed, and fans are really hoping he comes back sooner rather than later, but so far, on the whole, the season, it's been a success. There have been some bumps in the road, and certainly 12-2 is not by any means a bad record. And it kind of shows you where Xavier has come in the last few years, that at 12-2, there are a few people who were discontent about the losses, and certainly at Baylor was a pretty bad loss. They lost by 15. So
what is there to be upset about with this team? It seems like Xavier played, you know, a pretty good schedule, you know, a pretty good schedule, but we'll get to that in a second. But they've certainly, you know, held their own. I guess the only negative is that first, they have losses. Second, I mean, Baylor's a really good team though. And third, that Xavier has this interesting schedule that looks very perfect for a high seeding, for a high ski, or to basically create the high seeding possibilities. You know, in KenPom, most of these teams are ranked in the top 200, you know, low-level teams that will certainly be competitive in their conference. A couple of major conference teams, Northern Iowa twice. And, you know, it seems like it's a pretty good schedule. So what is that people could be discontent about?
Well, if you see, while there are only two losses, there are a couple of games. Missouri really stands out as a game that Xavier won by a point in overtime against a Missouri team that's really not a good team this year.
They call them trash. We're okay with that.
They won the season opener against Lehigh by three, which Lehigh is a good mid-major team. But again, if you're looking to be a top seed in the NCAA tournament, which Xavier certainly is, that is a game that fans would want to see you win by more. So to me, the season's been a great success. There has been some unrest amongst the fans just at not winning some games by the margins that they would certainly want to see. And there's been a sloppiness at times that has characterized the team where teams have come back into the game after it looked like they'd been put away. That happened against Utah and certainly against Providence, Xavier kind of had put that to bed a little bit when they were able to finish that game off really well. So hopefully they're turning a corner in regards to that.
So where's the weakness? Where is it that the team struggles to put opponents away? What is it that they do?
All right. Well, one of the big knocks against Xavier this year, I guess, has been their outside shooting. Like I said, they're shooting 33% from three. That's, you know, not even in the top 200 in the country. So that has been a weakness, and a cold shooting night could see them really struggle. That's what happened when they went to Baylor, went to Colorado, two games in which they really struggled to shoot the ball from the outside. And Baylor has great length. Colorado has a lot of really strong post players, and Xavier wasn't able to compensate in the post. And so when the outside shooting goes, they can be taken, and that's been the case in the two games that they lost this year, is that they weren't able to make the outside shots. Other than that, Xavier has had times where they struggled to take care of the ball, that has come down to Edmund Sumner is an incredible point guard, a sophomore, but he can't play every minute of every game. And the backup right now is Quentin Gooden, who's had some turnover issues. He has certainly been an exciting player to watch, but has not necessarily been a steady hand on the wheel without Sumner, which is another area in which they miss Miles Davis.
So what happened to Miles Davis again?
There were a couple of misdemeanor incidents during the summer, and they went to court. I don't know the exact details, and I'm not going to speculate on the exact details.
I thought there was something about breaking a girlfriend's cell phone.
There was something about a cell phone, breaking a window, something like that. The fact of the matter is he was suspended from the team in July because Coach Mack said, you know, it's a privilege to play basketball at Xavier. He needs to earn that privilege. And the rumor was he was going to be back for conference play. He hasn't come back yet. So the rumor said he stayed in Cincinnati over the Christmas break. But the coaching staff has made it clear that when he's back, he's back. And they have been very mum about any details about when that may take place.
Interesting. So. Interesting. You know, Davis is a guy who comes from, New Jersey, right? He's from Newark, I think it is?
He's from, I think he's from right around South Orange, where Seton Hall is.
Yeah.
Plainfield is his hometown. I don't know where that is in New Jersey, though.
It's nearby. I've seen the exit. I've never been there. Yeah, you know, it's a little bit unfortunate about Miles Davis, but, you know, given certainly what I've heard about the incidents, it seems like a suspension or at least some sort of discipline is warranted. And, you know, kudos to Xavier for taking it seriously, unless there's something else going on. Like he, you know, for some reason can't play for I don't know what, I don't know. I mean, you know, good luck to him too, because he's what, like 30 years old, right?
Yeah, he had a little trouble when he got into school. He was a partial qualifier, so yeah, he's getting up there.
Dude needs a comb over, man. Is a
which is a strong move. We have several members of our staff that will go unnamed that we're losing that battle. So
yeah, it seems like some of the other players are. I think Makura also is. You know,
he's got the short buzz cut going. Yeah,
yeah, he looks like some of that thinning. You know, that's what you get for having such a mature team,
I guess.
So you know, going on about Team Comb Over. So the other thing that's kind of interesting about Xavier coming into the season, along with, you know, a strong crop of returnees with Blewett and with Sumner, is the fact that the Musketeers lost some pretty big men last year. And can you tell us a little bit about how they've compensated with the newcomers that they have?
Yeah, well, obviously a big loss from last year would be Reynolds and Farr, who were both tremendous big men this year. Rashid Gaston, who's a transfer from Norfolk State, he sat out last season. This is he's a fifth year senior this year. He started out pretty slowly, but then he began starting and has really come on toward the end of non conference play, and then at the beginning of conference play as someone who is really very hard to stop on the offensive glass. And is starting to get his touch around the rim a little more right now. He's one of the top offensive rebounders in the nation. Sean O'Mara, who is a junior this year, he has picked up his production a little bit. He's been a little streaky. He's coming back into form now. He had a stretch of games, I think a couple games, where he only played 4 or 5 minutes. And so they were counting on him to be have a little more impact. And then the freshman Tyreek Jones is a ball of energy off the bench. Unfortunately, he's a ball of energy that likes to foul people, but he blocks a lot of shots. He gets a lot of rebounds. He's really aggressive on offense. He doesn't have a very refined game. He only shoots 41% from the free throw line, but he is a guy that you can't really sleep on when he gets out there. He's going to go out there and he's going to go after it, and he's going to try and make plays happen. And he does have some tremendous highlight reel dunks this year. So he's a guy that's really shown some really impressive flashes of potential this year as a freshman.
You know, Brad, before we go on to talking about the interchangeable wing situation or whatever is going on with all these 6'6 guards, I want to point out that Tyreek Jones, his fouls committed per 40 minutes would be 9.8.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That he... Yeah, he's following in the footsteps of Jalen Reynolds. His was up there at the start of his career. He was able to get it down to like a more manageable, like I think it was like 6 last year, which is basically none. And so, yeah, we're hoping that Tyreek can kind of mellow out a little bit. But the energy he plays with is really it's infectious. It really gets the whole team going. And so hopefully he can just curb it a little bit and quit fouling people so much.
So. Yeah, so, you know, when you look at the Xavier roster, the other thing that strikes you is that there are, like, six guys who are, like, between 6'4 and 6'6, seemingly interchangeable. I mean, obviously, Sumner's a point guard, but is 6'6. Blewett is, you know, an attacking wing, but he's 6'6. J.P. Makura is a shooter, but he's, you know, 6'5, got a 6'4 point guard. What are the benefits of having such a long, lengthy outside squad?
Well, Xavier is very athletic this year. A guy that also has come in this year from Florida A&M is Malcolm Bernard, and he gives them a lot of athleticism. He's a very athletic defender, kind of picking up where Remy Abel left off last year. He's a little taller than Remy and isn't quite as refined on offense right now. Gives them a lot of athleticism. And then you talked about Blewett and Nakura and Sumner, of course, are three of the top players as far as being able to attack the basket on offense. And you look at Kaiser Gates as well, is coming off an injury, a knee injury. He had a knee scope right before the season. So he's not quite back up to 100% yet, but he's 6'8", but he is more comfortable actually so far facing up this year. Takes a lot more threes than he does twos so far this year.
29 threes also, and six twos.
Yeah, he's also right in there as far as being somebody who's going to face the basket, and Xavier can play four out and one in and really spread teams out and move the ball well. And when they move the ball well, they're pretty hard to stop. Sometimes the ball has tended to stagnate. That really was a big issue against Missouri in that close game that Xavier eventually won. That really shouldn't have been as close. But when they spread the floor and move the ball, these guys can really put up some impressive offensive performances. So I think having a lot of guys that are interchangeable kind of helps them to be able to plug one guy in. If somebody gets in foul trouble, it's not somebody's night, and be able to keep going, keep turning it over, you know, not turning it over in the sense of giving the ball to the other team, but just keep attacking the opponent.
Yeah. I mean, that's, that sounds pretty hard to beat. How is St. John's going to beat Xavier in the Cintas Center?
Well, I'll be honest. It's probably going to come down to, I don't know.
You're telling me then Shamori Ponds is going to have to drop 40?
Well, Shamori had an incredible game against Butler, and so I think he'll probably have to go at least 26 again for that to happen. But I think the big thing is that Xavier has people who are going to pick up the slack. Butler was very, very dependent on Keelan Martin, and he didn't have a great game against St. John's. So I would say for St. John's to beat Xavier, it would take Xavier having – a lot of people have off nights, so that's what I'm going to say about that.
All right. So, you know, the rumble has been to the Cintas Center. Cintas, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Good. The rumble has been to the Cintas Center and to lovely Cincinnati. You know, it's by the way, a lovely drive into up to the Xavier campus. Tell us a little bit about the atmosphere in the arena.
All right. Well, Cintas Center, you know, 10,000 seat on campus arena.
With fire, by the way, fire.
There are some pyrotechnics that go off before the game. And I think that kind of, it sets the tone a little bit, because Cintas Center is really a place where it's designed to be in the opponent's face and really rattle them a little bit. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Xavier has not lost a non-conference game there in quite a while. I think the streak's up to 37 straight non-conference wins now in the Cintas Center. Last year, of course, in that game against Villanova, they were able to knock off Villanova in the Cintas Center. So they're a tough team in the Cintas Center. I think they feed a little bit off the energy and just the sheer in-your-faceness of everything that goes on there, from the pyrotechnics to, you know, there's always halftime entertainment, and there's just a lot going on there, but it's a loud place, and it is always packed, especially for Big East games.
Cool. So, Big East, what are your feelings about the league going forward?
Sure.
That was a very open-ended question. Yes, I know.
Well, going forward as far as this year, I think honestly the surprise package is St. John's, you know, sitting there at 2-1, tied for second place. I'm not sure very many people predicted them being able to pull off the win over Butler, and we'll see if they can keep it going. But I think the Big East is in a really good place right now. You look at Marquette, who's a team that's still on the rise. Seton Hall, they lost Whitehead, but they've still put together a really good season at 11-3. Georgetown has been pretty disappointing again. DePaul has really struggled this year. And then Providence is off to a slow start in the Big East, but they have some ups and downs in the non-conference play. But if you look at it, I think right now the Big East is still right up there as one of the best conferences in the country. And, you know, obviously this is our fourth season in the Big East, so it's still a little bit new to us. But it is, you know, I would say it's one of the better conferences out there, and I think it will continue to be that way going into the future. If you look around at some of the coaches that are there, certainly with Wright, with Coach McDermott, you know.
Yeah, really only one coach might be on the firing line, and that would be John Thompson III. And it's hard to imagine them really pulling that trigger, you know?
Yeah, I would say Dave Liatto at DePaul probably should be looking over his shoulder. I don't know who DePaul's going to get in. But,
nah, not yet.
You would have to think.
No, I think with DePaul, just because, you know, I feel like I've been there and I get the idea of what's going on there, is they certainly crave stability. And they didn't bring back Leto without some assurances that, barring something really embarrassing, that he would get some years to do this turnaround, you know? Because nobody's going to go in there and make that team a mid-pack Big East squad without at least a recruiting cycle and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would think that he or certainly John Thompson III, obviously, I think is probably the one that's going to be coming up in most conversations just because of how far Georgetown seems to have fallen.
Speaking of how much they've fallen, what did you think when you watched them play last week or last weekend? I mean,
well, you know, LJ Peak is still a tremendous player. Rodney Pryor is having a really good season for them. He's still shooting above 50% from three, which is obviously hard to stop. They lack organization. They lack commitment on the defensive end, and I think that costs them sometimes. And it just seems like there are times where they're a little unfocused. And against us, they really couldn't get anything going inside. Govan and Hayes were pretty much non-factors. But, you know, with Peak and with Pryor, a guy like Marcus Derrickson, they can punch with pretty much anybody, and they've got some impressive wins this year. It's just going to be a matter of applying themselves all the time and being able to focus on the defensive end that I think it's probably the difference between them, you know, beating Oregon or losing to Arkansas State. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, the Oregon win was pretty impressive for Georgetown. I mean, I would say Syracuse is impressive, but, you know, the more and more you look at it, they're just some mediocre team in some mediocre conference. So
I've heard of them. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear they're somewhere near Canada, Finger right. Lakes, something.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
All I know is their gym is terrible.
Never
play basketball in the Carrier Dome.
Oh man, I've been up in the nosebleeds up there, and it's like, you know, you want binoculars,
right?
I saw an Eric Devendorf game there, though, and you can tell where Eric Devendorf is. And I'm not making the, like, oh, he's the white guy on the court thing. No, you could put a bunch of white guys on the court, and you'd still know where Eric Devendorf is because he's doing something Eric Devendorf-y.
Right. He had a way of distinguishing himself.
He really did.
And I don't necessarily mean that positively.
Nobody ever does. You know, he had some good games, and he had his swagger, but sometimes you were like, what the... Why did you do that?
Yeah.
But, you know, okay. You know, shade fully thrown. You know, Syracuse is a weird place to see a basketball game. It's like, I don't know. It's like, you know, it's kind of like those Final Fours in the NBA arenas where they try to cut off parts of it. Or it's like if you've been, I don't know if Xavier has an athletic center like this, but I know some, smaller colleges do, where the basketball section is just kind of cordoned off by, like, a, you know, a folding wall. It's right, kind of like that. And it just feels so weird and chintzy.
Yeah.
But, again, shade and thrown. I will say that everybody at Syracuse was really nice this time. I drove out to the game. People were really pleasant. I was like, I'd hang out with you folks, even though you live in Syracuse.
So were they still as pleasant after you guys walloped them? Or?
Oh, yeah, very pleasant.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are a lot of professionals out there, a lot of, you know, pro reporters. I was sitting next to a guy who covers, or I think he's actually a scout. He was he's an NBA scout. But he obviously is a bit of a kind of Syracuse homer. And he kept turning to me and saying, I have no idea what's going on here. You know, just like, all over and over again. You know, there were some well-dressed people in front of us. They were actually very nice. The band was pretty pleasant, if, you know, not that good. No, it just seemed like it was kind of a fun scene, and, you know, people were very good about telling you where to go and not like, you know, go to hell, but, you know how to get from place to place. No, everybody was really pleasant. You know, it's one of the better sport experiences. I mean, maybe they also didn't know that I was covering St. John's or whatever, that's but, true. You know, it was definitely one of the better sport experiences. And I say this as a person who's gotten, in my Mets gear, yelled at in all sorts of places, you know, in Chicago, they were very rude. In Philadelphia, they were frightening, you know, things like that.
Gotcha.
So, anything that you want to tell us about people who are visiting Cincinnati for the game, things that they should do for fun?
I'm going to start with, this is probably going to get me in trouble with people in Cincinnati, but...
is this the part about how Skyline Chili actually sucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not eat the chili.
We've discussed this.
Yeah, I would rather, honestly, I'd rather starve to death. So
I agree.
It's real bad. It has chocolate in it, and that should never be in chili. So
I could go with some chocolate
that.
Chili.
You know, as much as you can, stay on Xavier's campus. But no, there are some cool things to do in Cincinnati. I personally am not from Cincinnati, so. I would say head north from there. You can check out, you know, Wright Patt Air Force Base. They got a museum there. That's pretty neat. That has every warplane that's ever flown in war for the American Air Force. So
wow.
If you are into history, that is certainly a place where you can kill more than an entire day. So that's what I'm going to say. Head north. It's in Dayton, which is also not a
great place. Man, you. I'm glad you didn't lead with that because I wouldn't have listened to any of it. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I should have realized when you said right.
I brought you in with my advertisement. Now you realize, okay, well, I do want to do that.
Well, when you said Wright Air Force Base, I should have realized, wait, Wright, like Wright State, like Dayton. Oh,
true. That's
Dayton's true. Terrible, man.
That's true. No.
I feel like I'm not going to spend much time throwing shade. Because I actually have affection for the state of Ohio.
Okay. But
man, Toledo stinks. Dayton stinks. I don't think I like Cincinnati that much either. Though I really like Xavier's campus.
Yeah, I do like Xavier's campus. The other place in Cincinnati, if you go there, over the Rhine has some really cool, breweries, pizzerias, whatever you're into. So if you go down there. You can get in some really cool stuff as well. I would say, steer clear of the chili. That's my main advice for any St. John's fans.
Brad, thank you very much for keeping our fans' stomachs intact and sending them back on the plane without extreme flatulence and discomfort.
I do what I can.
You've done a great job tonight. You've done a great job. Let's give you a hand.
Thank you.
All right, folks, this is the end of this little bit of the podcast, and we want to tell you that we're always ready to welcome your questions. You can email us at rumbleinthegarden.com, rumbleinthegarden@gmail.com, sorry. We've been talking to Brad from Banners on the Parkway, covering Xavier. Check out his work. He and his guys do a really good job. They've been at it for how many years now, man? It's been forever.
Well, this is our fifth year at Banners on the Parkway. We started a couple of different websites before that, but this is our fifth year of Banners on the Parkway. So.
Yeah, Banners is on the SB Nation Network, just as Rumble in the Garden is. And Brad, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Norman.